Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. I'm so glad you're here. If you've been wondering, I am not Pastor Dan. Now, at Hy-Vee or Price Chopper, some people mix us up. They'll walk up to us and tell me something that Dan did or said. And I'm like, that ain't me. I didn't do it. And people do the exact same thing to him. You know, neither one of our wives are all that thrilled with that. But as we've gotten older, we kind of, I guess, start looking more like each other, I guess. I don't know. We're different sons of different mothers or something. I don't know. Well, I'm glad that you are here today. And one thing that I wanted to just say to you, the Royals are good again, aren't they? Isn't that great? I know they lost last night. I know that. But they'll be back. Hope springs eternal, doesn't it? Man, I love baseball. Absolutely love it. And just as another great excuse to go to Rally House and get some more gear or something. I want us to step back in time to maybe what you called it was grammar school or elementary school or grade school. But if you can just for a second step back emotionally and remember those days, I'm going to quote a great theologian of our day. His name is George Strait. I love George. His song back a long time ago, I think it was mid-80s, Check Yes or No. Remember that song? Love that song. It's a song, really, that started in his life in grade school with what became his wife. And like, you know, when you were in grade school and you'd send little notes to some guy, some girl that you thought was cute or pretty, and you'd say, do you love me? Yes or no? Or do you want to be my friend? Check yes or no. Well, I got some questions for you today. They're not exactly like that, but I need you at least emotionally to check yes or no. Am I my brother's keeper? Don't answer out loud. This is all internal work, okay? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I to help carry the pain and the burden of someone else? Check yes or no. Do I sometimes get my nose in other people's business? Check yes or no. Okay, just to be clear, the answer to all three of those questions is yes. I am my brother's keeper. Although the answer is not printed in Scripture, it was implied. We are our brother's keeper. We are to help carry the pain and the burden of other people. And do I sometimes get my nose in other people's business? Absolutely, I do, and so do you. So how do you know when to do what? The Gospel of John was written, in fact, it actually tells us in the Gospel of John why this book, why this was compiled and made into something for us to remember and learn from. The Gospel of John was written so that through Jesus, all might believe. This is the theme of this amazing book of the New Testament. We've heard some face-to-face accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry many times as we've read and listened to the book of John. There are 21 chapters in the book of John. Listen to all these themes. These will come racing back to you. The birth of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, the calling of the 12 disciples, water turned into wine. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to believe in Jesus. The woman at the well receives forgiveness and experiences grace for the very first time in her life. A score of miraculous healings, feeding over 5,000 people with a simple boy's snack. Jesus tripping the light fantastic, dancing across the water, and still more healings included in this book. Jesus raises the dead. Dirty feet are washed. One of Jesus' own disciples betrays him. And then another. And then Jesus looks at those guys and said, "Stick with me." Jesus is arrested. He's beaten and he's killed in public. And then he's busting free from the tomb. And lives transformed by simple faith. All that is included in the Gospel of John. Sounds kind of exciting, doesn't it? Remember all of those? So now we're going to land. I know you're like, what happened to chapters 1 through 20? Well, today we're going to look at chapter 21, okay? It's at the end of this book. It's a hot-headed disciple. You know who he is. His name is Peter. Frankly, he sounds a lot like us. There are many of us in this room that closely identify with the way Peter lived his life. He talks before he thinks. He gets in other people's business. And yet Jesus, I'm losing myself here. Let's just hope this side stays on, okay? Peter gets in other people's business. And yet Jesus completely forgives, he completely restores, and then he refills him with his Holy Spirit. John 21 has lots of amazing themes, most of which have been spoken about, preached about a gazillion times, but truth never gets old. And sometimes the Lord decides he wants to say something about a subject we just don't hear very much about. That's the moment that we're in today. John 21, the chapter opens with a great fish story. Now, we're not going to talk about fishing today. I wish we were. Oh, why don't we? Okay, let's do. I love to fish. Anybody else love to fish? I love to fish. But really, there's only one kind of fishing I love. Now, I'm serious. I'm not big on sitting in a boat with a bobber. I'm not big on standing on the shore, throwing it out, and putting weights and a bobber. You know what kind of fishing I love? Fly fishing. You know why? Because there's action. If the fish aren't biting, I'm still moving. I'm out in the middle of the stream or the river, and I am working the stream. And man, I love fly fishing. But I told you we were not going to talk about fishing today. But that's how this chapter opens up. A huge fishing story. Jesus standing on the shore and tells the disciples, "Hey, have you thought about throwing your net on the other side of the boat?" You can imagine what they thought. Oh, come on. We do this for a living. We're professionals. But Jesus was right one more time. So Peter was a great fisherman. That's the way he's been described. And after Jesus' resurrection, Peter went back to doing what he'd always done. He went back to fish. You know why? Because when you don't know what to do, do what you know. That's what Peter was confronted with. This episode in chapter 21 is following Peter's epic meltdown of faith in front of a little girl. Any guy who thinks he's fairly tough when, now sometimes it's our daughters. When we're around our daughters, we kind of melt. I get that. This was not Peter's daughter. She said, "Hey, you were with Jesus, weren't you? You're one of his. Don't you follow him?" And Peter had an epic meltdown right then. He began to stutter and then curse and say, "I don't know him. I don't have any part of him." This part of the story is a part of the restoring of Peter to his destiny, to his future, his way back from major failure. Any of you living with any of those today, Jesus has a word for you, and it's, would you please let me change your life. Restoring Peter back to his band of brothers to help spread the life-changing message and power of Jesus. This conversation that we're going to look at real close is brief, probably briefer than my message already. Not too many words. Very short, in fact. Honestly, I've never heard anybody preach about this. I really haven't. Leave it to me to see weird, obscure, maybe insignificant things, but that's what we're going to talk about today. I want us to read it together. It's going to be on the screens. It may be in your worship guide, or you could find it on your Bible app, or if you went old school, you can grab the copy of Scripture in front of you. I'm going to set it up for us. It's found in John 21, and it says this. After his resurrection, we're not going to print that yet, but Jesus asked Peter three times, if he loved him. And he answered, check yes or no, he answered yes three times. Then Jesus told Peter how he would die. Seems odd to come right after that, right? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes. Hey, Peter, let me tell you how you're going to die. He's going to die by crucifixion. Peter wondered how it would go with John. So Peter asked Jesus, hey, what about this guy? What about this man? Jesus brushed off that question, as sometimes we do to each other. And he looked at Peter and he said this, what is that to you? Jesus seemed a little irritated, don't you think? I'm like, hey, Peter, what's up, man? Why are you looking at him? Here's the whole interchange. I want you to read it with me. John 21, verses 18 through 22. Very truthfully, I say to you, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This Jesus said to show Peter what kind of death he was going to die that would glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, said to Peter, Jesus said, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple who Jesus loved, John, also called in many translations the beloved, the one whom he loves. He looked and saw John following them, the one who'd been reclining at the table close to Jesus. And when Peter saw John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that John remain until I come, what is it to you, Peter? You follow me. You follow me. Here he is, Peter, hearing serious words about his own death, death by crucifixion, just like his Savior. And his immediate response was, well, Jesus, what about John? If this is my life, what about his life? How will it be for him? What will happen to him? My guess is, what we know about Peter, he wasn't being gentle and kind about John. He wasn't like, oh, okay, that's okay for me. Would you take care of John? I don't think that's the way he meant it. I think he's like, okay, it's going to be really bad for me. I sure hope it's going to be bad for him too. That's pretty similar to what we do, at least on the inside. So we have a real struggle, and the beginning of your fill in the blanks looks like this today. Compare, compare, compare. What about him? What about her? Jesus came to free us up from that kind of inner slavery. It's his decision to make, not mine. You see, he's God. He gets to decide. He will decide whether I'm okay with it or not. He gets to decide. And he's looking at me and saying, Clay, why don't you just put your eyes on me and follow me? But I just can't help myself. Can you? Always we get these words that this is what I'm experiencing, this is how hard my life has been, and oh my gosh, why is their life so easy? Or we turn it and go, man, I'm glad my life's not like theirs. I got it good. Jesus looks at both extremes and says, if I choose to do this with their life, what is it to you, Clay? Mind your own business. That's the title of this message. I know Lori laughs at me sometimes. I get a kick out of titles. Sometimes titles, well, for mine, are better than my message. But this one is like means something. Mind your own business. That's exactly what Jesus was telling Peter. My business is to follow him. And if you have the name of Christ engraved in your heart, that's the only business you have. Follow him. So mind my own business, or fill my life with the business of God. Clay, which one is it? Yes. It's both. Mind my own business and fill my life with the business of God. How do we know the difference, and how do we know when to do what? Well, the business of God is actually found in Isaiah 61. Now, if you have a copy of Scripture or have access to see it, I want you to look at it. Isaiah 61, verse 1, and it's also found in the New Testament. If you're one of those people who go, yeah, I don't really read the Old Testament, or I just read the Old Testament, I don't really give that much about the New Testament, guess what? It's in both, okay? Like most promises and powerful words of God, Jesus confirms everything that was written in the Old Testament. Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, listen to what it says. Preach good news to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Announce freedom to the captives. Release from darkness all that are in prison. Now, is that what my life is all about? Or do I like to meddle? I kind of like to meddle sometimes. How about you? It's my spiritual responsibility. Huh. Okay. You know, a lot of places talk about spiritual gifts, don't they? And spiritual gifts, those studies, the reality of what God has gifted you with. Let me just tell you, that's a good exercise for you to put yourself through, to experience the powerful gifting that God has created you for. But I want to also remind us that those gifts, you know, I didn't know this until just a few years ago. God gets to choose which gifts and when he gives you. You mean this is not my gift for life? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. He can. He does. You know, back years and years and years ago, 1983 probably, I mean, my life was just kind of turning, a lot of guilt, a lot of, you know, but just kind of turning back toward, okay, God, I know you called me to walk with you the rest of my life, and man, I don't really want to be honest with you. Doesn't look that good, doesn't sound that good to me. It really looks like not any fun at all. So let's not. That's kind of my posture. And, you know, one thing that was spoken about in a lot of churches was, well, did God call you to music ministry? Did God call you to student ministry? Did God call you to preach? Let me see if I can help you that helped me. Listen, he called you his child, his son or his daughter, to walk with him forever. Okay? That's enough for me. And what I discovered was, yeah, I started in youth ministry, which the church we started with, Lori and I still laugh. What were they thinking? Man, they were not thinking at all. Someday I'll go into, maybe I won't today. What were they thinking? But very soon after, I went into full-time worship ministry and was there for, gosh, years and years and years and years and years. And love that. Love youth ministry. And then God opened up opportunity and responsibility in my calling just to be his, just to follow him, no matter where he led. And started speaking. And man, that was weird. And I didn't have any experience necessarily doing that, although I talked to myself a lot. I didn't, you know, didn't really have a whole lot of experience in that. And so let me just say, your spiritual gifting, your calling upon your life, God gets to choose when and where and how. So first of all, don't limit yourself, but don't limit God. What you started with may be for a short season, but it may not be that way for the rest of your life. God has many great plans for you. And it is the most exciting thing in the world to see how he guides and directs and opens up new seasons of calling for your life. So your spiritual giftings. Most of us love to find out how God gifted us so that, there's only one goal there, so that we can use them in the body of Christ to glorify God and help bring people to him. That's why you have spiritual gifts. But I want you to know something. If you've never studied those before, when you see the list of the spiritual gifts, you know one thing that doesn't show up? Nosiness. Not a spiritual gift. Now, it may be to you, but it's not to God. In fact, he doesn't want any part of it. He looks at those of us who like to be a little nosy, and he goes, mind your own business. Or in some circles, you'd hear it, and it'd say, business. Mind your own business. It's good advice. It's life-changing advice. So that's the good news to the poor. That is also how the brokenhearted get healed. We are to be about the business of God. If you spend all your time and all your energy in the business of God, guess what? Your plate will be more than full. You will not have time, energy, or appetite to get your nose in anybody else's stuff. If you are all about the business of God, man, I'm telling you, that is a lifelong excitement. So how do you get the balance between the two? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's found in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22 through 26 says it this way. I think it says it best. Live, walk, think, move, fill in the blanks, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Not in the flesh, in the Spirit. We usually live and walk and think and move in the flesh. But Paul, in the letter to Galatia, said, you get the most joy. In fact, your plate is more than full if you live and move and think in the Spirit. And that's how you know if you're doing it. you're living in the balance of carrying each other's burden and being all about the business of God. That's the balance right there. I will experience exactly what my life craved from the moment I took my first breath and wet my diaper and squealed and did all kinds of stuff. That's the way God creates us. To live like that in the Spirit. It also is the only way for you and I to live the abundant life. The flesh has no joy. The flesh has no comfort. The flesh has no hope. The flesh has no peace. But in the Spirit, you got it all. You are the George Costanza of the spiritual life. You cause problems and then you solve them. You're the total package. You got it all. It's unbelievable to carry one another's burdens, but keep my nose out of their business and to be all about the business of God. That is how it works. And that is where your life will be in balance. Those verses 24 through 26 of Galatians, those are kind of special. Listen to these. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. You know one word that falls in the sinful nature? Nosiness. That's where it shows up. That's the sinful nature. That's the nature of the flesh. We've actually put to death the old sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, here you go. You want to break a sweat? Listen to this. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Anybody that ever tells you that walking in the Spirit is easy, they are lying to you. They are lying to you. Keeping in step with the Spirit, not only will you break a sweat, oh my gosh, it is hard work. And I'll tell you why. Most of us look sometimes at the spiritual life, the life of abundance, and we think, oh, it's supposed to be so easy. Just literally, like, let go and let God. I'm just going to fall back and He's going to take care of everything. He wants your cooperation. And to cooperate with God, you'll do more than break a sweat. You'll die to self. You will put to death over and over and over the flesh. That's not all that fun. I don't know if you thought it was just going to be fun to follow Jesus. I'm telling you, it's rich. It's powerful. It's full of joy. But it ain't easy. It is not easy. So keep in step with the Spirit. And listen to what he says. He goes on and says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now, sometimes when we start, I mean, we take a couple steps in the Spirit and then we don't. We take a couple steps and then we may take another one. And you know what happens so often? The first response, when I take a couple steps in the Spirit, I start looking around and going, huh, they're sure not. And these words are so important. Clay, mind your own business. What is that to me? Jesus said, hey, Clay, follow me. Follow me. It's the only thing you get to do. It's the only thing you have to do. But it's a big job. Big, big job. Stop comparing myself to one other human being for any reason. Oh, man. What will I do with all my excess time? You won't have any excess time if you are all about the business of God. In fact, you won't be in the way of someone else's life when God is trying to work in their life. You won't be a distraction to them. You will not get in front of them. You will not make it about you. God sometimes allows pain and difficult situations and challenges to shape and to stretch and to teach and to guide. And sometimes I can't wait to jump right in the middle of it. You see, God gave me, and I'm not bragging about this because there's a lot of downside to this. He gave me two of my giftings are compassion and mercy. And so it makes perfect sense for me when I see issues or problems, sometimes, of course, that I caused, but to get in the middle of them and try to help. That makes perfect sense to me. Oh, God, listen, I'm kind of busy. Don't stop me here. I'm trying to do your work. You hear how stupid that sounds? That's exactly what I've done. I'll get in the middle of someone else's pain or difficult situation, and God is trying to use that to actually draw them and strengthen them and grow their faith. And when I distract it or get in their way, I'm causing God's work to be thwarted, at least, at the very least, slowed way down. So how do I know? Well, first of all, we have to be aware that we might be doing that. That's important, right? What do they say in all kinds of addiction therapy? They're like, you got to admit there's a problem. Houston, we got a problem. There is a problem. When that's happening, there's a problem that can be easily, not without thought, but easily fixed. It's stop and listen. Get all about the business of God only and follow Him. Oh, Clay, it can't be that easy. Oh, it's so easy we fall right over it. We fall right over it. We think it's all got to be just so intricately detailed and deep theological truth. No, Jesus looked at Peter and said, follow me. Follow me. So what are you going to do with all your time that you got left? Encourage. Spur one another on to love and good works. Bear one another's burdens, but mind my own business. And stay busy with the business of God. Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And that was enough. Now, Jesus, as he could often, he could have waxed elephants. I mean, he could have talked for days about what that means, how to do it. He didn't. He made it two words, very simple, but very direct. Now, I find my life a lot like Peter. I need it clear and concise. Some people would call it, Clay, you need it simple, okay? I'm that guy too. I need it clear, concise, and very simple. Evidently, so did Peter. Jesus said, follow me. If it was enough for Peter, I wonder if it's enough for me. Is it enough for you? You want something else to do with your life? Something that you're going to just simply say, I'm sure God wants me to do this. Why not ask Him? And why not choose to live and move and think in the Spirit? It's where there's life. It's where there's joy. It's where there's peace. And by the way, you won't get in anybody else's business. You won't have any time. I want us to pray together for a moment. So would you just draw a little circle around your life right now? You may be sitting with around a lot of people. You may be sitting by yourself. But in this moment, would you just allow and welcome God to speak to you? Check yes or no. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I to carry the burden of of someone else's life? Do I sometimes get my nose into other people's business? Those first two questions could fill every day on your calendar from now on. That last question will mess up your life and the life of other people. Holy Spirit of God, would you search us and know us? Would you see everything and show us everything and anything that doesn't look just like Jesus? And Father, would you help us right now be gut level honest with you? Lord, what you did for Peter in those moments was to restore, repair, bring back epic failure. Lord, sometimes I don't see this as an epic failure in my life, but you sure might. At the very least, Lord, it's sin. And we're here to deal with you, and you to deal with us. One of the greatest promises in all the Bible says if we confess, if we agree with God about our sin, he is faithful and just, fair, to forgive us of that sin and to wipe the slate clean, cleanse us from every evidence of that sin. That's his promise. What is he saying to you? And what will you do about it? Father, in this moment, we're both grateful and humbled by reality and truth and conviction and clarity. But Lord, all of those things in the power of Jesus lead to healing, lead to restoring. We'll take that. Thank you for the offer, God. I pray, God, for all of us in this place. Lord, may we start a new path today. Some of us need to start that, Lord, with our families. We got our nose in their business. Some of us need to start that with a friend or somebody at church. Lord, would you do this work deep within? Because all true transformation starts in the heart and then works its way out. Lord, there's no value in us just looking like we're doing the right thing. There's transformation when it starts in the heart. So God, that's where we welcome you. Do your work in us. And we pray this in the strong name, the restoring name of Jesus. And everybody together said, amen. Love you all. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. And by the way, you're getting out a little early. Enjoy yourself.